Mary, we thought it might be nice to have a period of sharing of testimonies. So in light of the fact that we just spent the last 4 weeks with Advent and waiting and celebrating with Christmas that Christ is born, and celebrating just our relationship, and the fact that we have this light in our life and that we know the path to follow and the joy to celebrate it, open up this time. I know a couple people had contacted me to say they did want to give a testimony, and we'll have them come forward first. But then afterwards, if there's anyone else that just feels moved to share how Christ has worked in their life, or even just how Christ has worked recently over this holiday season as we've thought about refocusing and quieting down and how we can spend more time with the Lord, we'll have you come up. So, I don't know, Will, if you wanted to start. And I know no one likes to come up here, but this is the only way anyone can hear. So don't be afraid and don't let that put you off.
Okay. Well, good morning again. I know I just read, so now I'm ready to give my testimony about the 12 days of Christmas that we just celebrated this past month, during this Advent season. My testimony about the 12 days of Christmas. How I experienced the 12 days of Christmas is, as a church, we show God's love to our church in community. I enjoyed showing the love for others on Christmas and throughout the new year. I believe that we as a church are going out to deliver gifts, writing cards, attending the Santa Lucia celebration at Bethany. The 12 days of Christmas are very important to me and also to you because it represents the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. On one of the days of Christmas was a time to give up all the stress, pressure, other things like sports and other meetings not related to church. Rejoice in the Lord. The 12 days of Christmas means to me is rejoicing in the Lord. One of the 12 days of Christmas on the Monday night, the 18th, was a prayer night. I went to here at the church, looking at the reflection of each candle lit, resembled the quietness and the stillness of reflection. To me, it meant the peace and to think what Christmas really means. The true meaning of Christmas was it was not only meant for just gifts, reindeer, Santa. It really means the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior to die for us, to save us from our sin. Every day on the 12 days of Christmas, on one of the days of Christmas, I chose to do card writing, Santa Lucia, and celebrate an open house at our pastor's house, the parsonage, for an annual open house to celebrate with church family and friends, to reflect and rejoice together with love and faithfulness and enjoy the food God provided for us. The music means a lot on Christmas, because I always enjoy listening to music on Christmas because it's very meaningful. The music that was sung pictures a meaning in my mind. I picture the events on Christmas night when Christ was lying in a manger and the shepherds at sight and the angels singing and rejoicing on high. That is the real meaning of 12 days of Christmas. I enjoyed being a part of this event. I did not make every night, but made a few out of the 12. I enjoyed helping to write cards to many businesses, to the neighbors in our community, enjoying the Santa Lucia Festival and program at Bethany next door. Enjoyed going to Christmas Eve service last Sunday night at Bethany as well, with music and wonderful message from Pastor Mary. I felt that rejoicing is the best to praise the Lord, and I felt the presence of the Lord at Christmas. And I would like to wish you all this Happy New Year and this coming Epiphany season. Amen.
Can you hear me? back there. Couldn't hit. Thank you, Doug. When the call went out for individuals who might want to witness or share, I didn't look at it closely from the perspective of the 12 days of Christmas, you know, what we wanted to share about. So this might sound a little negative, but it definitely is of God, and I want to share it with us because it's important to me, and therefore it's important to you. From an early childhood, from when I was 10, 9 or 10, my first experience with the Lord, recognizing and telling me what to do, was the beginning of a life of experiences with God, touches with God, trials with God, joys with God. In my 76 years, it's been wonderful and joyous. The past year or so, and especially now that I think about this 12 days of Christmas that we were sharing, I guess it's kind of relevant. What I'm going to be sharing with you is not the different events we had, because if I'm truthful, the different events we had were wonderful and I participated, but they were just kind of routine for me. They weren't really anything out of the ordinary from my experiences. And part of that was because of my age and my experiences. And part of that was because those of you who know me, even a little bit, know I'm going through a period of time where God is calling me to be in the midst of where he needs mercy to be shown. And so during our 12 days of Christmas, I have been having a terrible time because we all know that the news worldwide, the things that are going on in our community are really severe and violent and uncalled for. And we as a church, in all our celebration of the 12 days of Christmas, I've been having a personal conflict because of thinking, good gravy, how in heaven's name can I go and celebrate making cookies with somebody or singing wonderful songs when all the world around me is going to hell? And if the truth be known, don't take it personal, but this very church has been persecuting me in very subtle ways. So I'm thinking, oh, dang, what can I witness? Well, all is not lost. Because in the midst of my celebrating with us the 12 days of Christmas and what that means, I received a call and ran across somebody that was in my past a few years ago when I was unexpectedly put in a position where my life was 50-50. And again, most of you don't know me, but when I am a medical patient, doctors and nurses and the caretakers absolutely love me because I'm a jokester, and my whole point is to make you happy when you're doing your thing with me to make me well. This particular person, during my hospitalization, I ended up God just said to me, okay, I'm thinking it's the end, what I was going to is the end. In reality, it was. And I said to the staff, they were trying to figure out what in heaven's name, why can't we do something with it? Why can't we make her well? And I declared in the middle of the night that if somebody doesn't do something, I could still hear myself, I'm being such an obnoxious patient. If somebody doesn't do something, I am not going to make it till morning. And then I just laid back, went to sleep. Well, come to find out, long story, they couldn't figure out what the heck was wrong. There was one nurse who was called in, who was not used to oncology, was not used to surgery, was not used to trauma, who, being third shift, was called in to do what she needed to do. The problem was, she was being pulled off the OB gynecology ward and knew nothing about anything but delivering babies and taking care of new mothers. She missed the boat with what was wrong with me. And so when I declared, you know, you better do something, she had missed the boat as to what, I won't give you the details as to what the problem was. When I went through what they had to do, all that they had to do, by the next morning, all the powers that be at the hospital, when they found out what the problem was, were a little nervous because my medical attention was taken care of, and fortunately, what needed to be done was done, and I survived. But this person, because of all that went around the incident, the hospital powers that be were called in because, heaven forbid, Claire should put in a lawsuit because of negligence or whatever it was. So naturally, this person was totally overwhelmed. And to make matters worse, she was terribly guilty for two reasons. Like she said, I just love you so much. You're just so cheerful and everything. How could I have done this to you? And then to have the hospital powers that be around telling her she could not come and hold my hand the next day. Because naturally she would be part of the investigation. Now, you wouldn't think that this has anything to do with the 12 days of Christmas. I was proud of myself because I truly did trust in the Lord. I always have. And my attitude even now is what will be, will be. But this nurse and a couple of the other staff people didn't quite have that trust with all their medical expertise and with all their faith. Some of the staff were Jewish. A couple of the staff were acknowledged believers. But this woman, there was nothing I could say to her that would just know that she didn't, that it's okay, that she didn't do anything wrong. So over the weeks, I was discharged and things went well, and we had a relationship because I had to go back for follow-up and some minor rehab, and things seemed very good. Now, how this is all coming together, and pardon me for being verbose about it. In the persecution I've been experiencing personally over these past years, but especially over this past year, in the form of abuse and social kind of things. And over the months and weeks of, God, what in heaven's name do you want me to do? Get away from me, because I don't know what to do. And people are suffering, God, and where are we at the church? Well, you know what the wonderful witness this 12 days of Christmas? When this woman touched base with me and remembered after all these years, could call me out by name out in public. She actually said, thank you. And her life was going as well as for most of us. And my witness to you is, here I've been praying all this time, waiting for what the answer that I wanted. How can I help with the suffering? But in this instance, God's answer was, unbeknownst to me, I was the answer to someone else's prayer. She experienced my forgiveness. I didn't even know I was giving it. So I realized, oh my goodness, sometimes we know the answer. Sometimes we'll never know the answer. Sometimes we are a seed. So when you're praying for answers, you will get it. Sometimes you'll get it in the form that you personally need, and sometimes you'll get it in the form of a seed for someone else. I thank you for letting me share this with you.
Is there anyone else that wants to come forward with anything to say this morning? Doug?
I follow up on that.
Because it's from your heart, and it's what God's calling you to say. So come on up.
All right, George?
Sir?
See, I told you he's awake.
What's this? Oh, now I have the power. I went to a family gathering for Christmas. A fraction of our family. I'm the oldest of 10. And I still am. I looked around that family brawl, as my father would have called it. And out of about 30 people, I was the oldest one there. I am now the family patriarch. What an honor. But also, Carrie and I had the youngest one there by a few months. So that was kind of cool. But I find the older I get, I didn't say I was old yet, I said older. Got it? Kevin? I find that I'm drawing more and more on memories that I wouldn't have had if I wasn't older. And they're all going back to family and to church, too. By the way, I had a dream last night that I went to church today, and the church was surrounded by apple trees in full blossom. And you said the snow wasn't going to melt till May. I was listening. And, where was I now? Anyway, these memories, all good. I grew up in a physically abusive family, but I reformed myself. I was the oldest of 10. And but we accepted that because that's the way we thought all families grew up. And so there was no animosity there or bad memories. It's all good memories. We're a family. And I wouldn't have changed any of it. And now I'm experiencing the same thing. I can't take a peaceful nap unless the kids are raising hell. Excuse me. Because it's all joyful sounds in between the fights. And I thought, wow, well now Carrie's taking all this. And every night, I want to say around the supper table, but it really isn't. It's wherever we're sitting. We all say what we're thankful for the day. And we end it with, we're thankful for our faith, our family, our friends, our freedom, our fun, and our food, but also our foes and forgiveness. Because without the foes, we would have no forgiveness and thoroughly and completely understand it all. Amen. Jesus' name.
Does anybody else want to share anything? Or?
Good morning. I'd like to talk a little bit about this year. It's been kind of a meaningful one in so much as I have appreciated the opportunity to be in my second year on the leadership team. And there are a lot of things that took place this year that struck me differently than before. We've talked a lot about the 12 days of Christmas. And to some of us who are busy in the church all the time, it seemed like a major undertaking. But there were events that turned Christmas around in many ways. I've had kind of a uncomfortable feeling about Christmas time for years. I think it's because I've done too much focusing on how the Christmas ads start before Thanksgiving, and they don't stop until mid-January. But materialism is something I think that gets in the way, and it creates pressure. But the 12 days of Christmas this year gave a different focus. I felt happy to be able to participate in not all, but as Will said, some of the events, and each one had its own special meaning. I found that as also a member of the Ministry of Worship, it's been a privilege to be able to enjoy the listening to my wife's music in rehearsal and rehearsing with others here to present Advent and Christmas music. It opens up a little bit more of an avenue for the Spirit to come in and make the holiday more joyful. Some of the ways that made it joyful for me was in knowing that our church has a mission to go outside of our walls. George Mercedes and I enjoyed going to the town's businesses and seeing the reaction that the shop owners gave as we presented them with a box. This was one new experience. I don't think that I recall in all my years here having been done. And then George and I had the opportunity to bring boxes to the neighbors. And I admittedly made my 90-year-old neighbor cry. She was so thankful that, gee, somebody thought of me. And she has a minor connection to this church through her husband. But as I went home, I thought, we did reach out. We got beyond these walls and made somebody see what Christmas spirit comes from our church. It's nice to be able to see our pastor put some new life and rejuvenate the Lutheran church next door. It was a wonderful experience to be a part of services with our Lutheran friends that many of us have known for many, many years. I think this has turned out to be one of the most enjoyable Christmases that I can recall in quite some time.
Is there anyone else that wants to share anything? No. I guess, oh, sorry, Betty, I didn't see you. Do you want to come up here? No, there's, yeah, this time. Oh, okay, good, because there's a lot of feedback down there.
And if I did not behave, I got an elbow in the side. And I said, gee, you know, it would be great. Maybe when I get older, I can sit a little farther back. But I don't think it ever happened. So I'm kind of glad that I had that experience of being up front. I don't really want to say too much about Christmas. I wanted to share a favorite psalm, but as I was listening to the different testimonies, I think what Psalm 37 says to us kind of ties everything together. So I just wanted to share it with you. Not the whole psalm, because it's rather lengthy, but the parts I feel really kind of help us to wrap up our worship and, you know, what different ones have shared. So Psalm 37, it's a psalm of David. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil, for evil men will be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. This has always been one of my favorite psalms. From way back, I think, when I first had my own Bible and I started reading it. And I like it because you can sort of put all of this that I've just read into these three words: trust, delight, and commit. And to me, this little section of the psalm speaks volumes. We've got to learn to trust, and I know it's hard in these times. We need to still delight in the Lord and understand that He is going to give us the desires of our heart, and commit ourselves to the Lord, which is probably pretty difficult. Because so many things in this world call to us. You'll be happy and safe if you buy a lottery ticket and win $384 million. Or if you go out on the town and have a wonderful time and you drink the night away, you'll be in heaven, you know. Commit yourself to almost anything out there. But no, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord and commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him alone.
That's the tough one to follow, Doug, so let's not even try. So why don't we come up, Judy, and we'll close with our closing song, God's Love Made Visible.